pleasure to have everyone here, and it's even a greater pleasure to me not to have any of your responsibility in this context. It's a great thing. I really just want to take the opportunity on behalf of Young Israel Shomer Emunah to welcome all of you, but really to express our appreciation to the Greater Washington Community Kollel, headed by Rabbi Menachem Winter, to welcome Rabbi Glassberg also, and just thank them very much for their work throughout the year. Many programs held here in the show, many programs held in the Southeast Hebrew Congregation, Potomac, and so on and so forth. But it's really very special. There's a great effort to have a variety of programs to reach the needs of the community in multiple ways. And we appreciate it very, very much. We appreciate Rabbi Winter's work, and thank you very much. Thank you. I'd like to begin by thanking Rabbi Rosenbaum for his very strong partnership in the Kollel and mission, and Young Gezel Shomer Emunah for hosting us in so many different venues, and it's been a very fruitful relationship. And I thank Rabbi Rosenbaum for understanding the mission of the Kollel, bringing it to Kent Mill, to Shomer Emunah as well, for his personal friendship, which I cherish very much. And big yasher koach to you. Thank you very much. We're now in the midst of what's called the 3 weeks. In fact, the 9 days. And Tisha B'Av draws ever closer. And these are understood as days of sadness and days of mourning. And sometimes we feel we wish that we didn't have them. But the truth is that besides the discomfort that we experience during this time, these days are actually days of unique opportunity to contemplate and to connect to the Mikdash. Like, we understand Elul and the Yom Narayim, Yom Kippur, days of special opportunity to draw close to Hashem. So too, these days are unique in their own way to connect to the Mikdash. And how is that done? When we understand the Mikdash, when we feel its loss, when we feel the chisaron, the Maral tells us that the world has a certain equilibrium and is regeneration. And when there's loss and chisaron, that loss is regenerated and comes back. And when we feel that loss, we actually actualize that chorban, and that we recognize that it's missing in the world, and that allows and causes for the regeneration of the Mikdash. So when we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, we're not just recognizing the terrible thing that happened and that befell the Jewish people, but we're actually involved in the rebuilding of the Mikdash itself. In fact, the Shlosh says something astounding. We all know that the laws of mourning on Shabbos are suspended. And normally we think and attribute that to the unique Kiddush of Shabbos, that Shabbos is a time of joy and happiness, and sentiments of sadness and mourning don't conform to the spirit of Shabbos. But the Shlosh gives us another reason. He tells us that through mourning, through the Avelus of the Mikdash, we're actually rebuilding the temple. And building, we know, on Shabbos is one of the cardinal forbidden labors. So when we mourn on Shabbos, we're actually building. This is a certain vivid illustration of the power of the mourning that we do during this time. As well, when we mourn the Mikdash, we become connected to it, even before it's rebuilt. The Talmud in Tainus says, the Kol HaMitzabel Al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns the temple, Zoicha Viraya Bismchasa, will witness it in its rebuilding, in its joy. And the Sifte Chaim, he notes the language, Zoicha Viraya, is in the present tense. It doesn't say he will merit when Mashiach comes and it will be rebuilt. But he merits now in its rebuilding. And that's because by mourning the Mikdash, he rebuilds it in his heart and connects himself to it. But the truth is, in order for us to properly to mourn and to accomplish these things, we have to first understand what the Mikdash was. It happened a long time ago, the Mikdash. We don't have any first-hand testimony. So what was the Mikdash? The Mikdash was really a whole world unto itself. An Olam Katan, a small world. The Nefesh HaChaim explains, Chaim Volozhin, that this world encompassed all the features and components, both physical and spiritual, in the temple. They were all represented by the materials, by the intentions, by all the different features of the Mikdash, encompassed the whole spiritual universe that contained within it all possible features and elements of the entire universe. In fact, this Mikdash wasn't just a world, but it was a perfect world. What does that mean, a perfect world? Well, the truth is, a perfect world would be, what do you imagine? When we say Aleinu, L'sakein Olam, the Malchus Shakai, that we pray that the world have a tikkun, be perfected. What does that mean? Tikkun Olam is an expression that we hear so much, that's so misapplied. But when there's Shechina, when it's present, when it's manifest, when it's obvious, when we feel the Shechina, when we see the Shechina, so what do we have? We have clarity of purpose. We have goodness. Malay chala aretz deya, the whole world is full with Torah knowledge. There's no wickedness. There's no ra. There's no evilness. There's no tsar. There's no pain. There's no illness. Why? Because the world is full of the Shechina, of goodness, of knowledge. And in this world, we don't have that. This world is a world of bechira, of choice, that God gave man choice. He could choose to do good, he could choose to do bad, and that's for our benefit, so God could ultimately reward us for our choices. But in order to accomplish that, God had to somewhat conceal his presence, because if his presence was so manifest and so obvious, and so clear, it would be impossible for us to choose anything but good. And in this void, in this concealment, is the opportunity for ra, for bad. It's the opportunity for confusion and all the different things that we see around us. But in the Mikdash, in this microcosm, in this perfect world, the Shechina was there. It was manifest. And it brought all the goodness that you would imagine with having the Shechina so obvious. There was no machla in the Mikdash. There was, in fact, it didn't even abide by the laws of nature. The Mishnah in Avos enumerates 10 miracles that happened in the Mikdash every day. Because when you have the Shechina, you're emancipated and you're unfettered from nature, because you're living with the Shechina. And this is what we mean when we daven, L'sakein Olam B'malchus Shakai, that the world should be perfected in God's kingship. What was the foundation, the pillar of this world, of this Mikdash? Well, we said already that the base of Mikdash was an Olam. So we have to find out what would be the foundations of a world. Luckily, Mishnah Avos tells us. This is the famous Mishnah. Al shalosh devarim ha'olam oimed. The world is founded on three pillars. Al Torah, that means Torah study. Ha'avoda, divine service. And what finally? Gemilas Chasadim. These are the three pillars that hold up our world. And if the Mikdash is a world unto itself, these would be the pillars for that world as well. What does it mean these three things are the pillar of a world? And how is that? Why is that? The Nefesh HaChayim explains in his commentary on the Mishnah Avot. He says that the physical world around us, it's not something that could sustain itself, a physical entity. And he says, in order for the physical world to be sustained, to be realized, to be actualized, it has to connect itself to the upper world, the upper realm, the spheres in heaven. And it's that, those spiritual influences above, that come down, so to speak, and inject this world with life. And that's what Torah is. When we learn Torah, what we do is we bring down the shasa, that bounty, that goodness, those life forces from above. The Torah has the ability to connect the upper world and the lower world, the spiritual with the physical. And as in the fact that tzinor, a conduit, a pipeline, so to speak, for all the blessings, that's what the Torah is. It's a makar habracha, it's a source and font for all blessing and goodness in this world. And through limud haTorah, through the study of Torah, we're able to bring down that blessing, that shefa, that bounty, and to inject life into this world. And that's why it's a pillar, because it allows this world to subsist by bringing down these influences. How about avodah? Divine service. The Nefesh HaChaim says it does the same thing, but from the opposite way. What it does is it also makes this chibur, this connection between the lower world and the upper world. But not that it brings the upper world down, like Torah, but in contrast, it brings the lower world up and elevates it. It consecrates the material world. When we take, for example, just a little bit of leather, we make tefillin out of it. We take leather, we make parchment. We take a lulav and an estrid. We take flour and we make matzah. We make a bracha. We make a blessing. We do a mitzvah with these items and these objects. We invest the whole world, the whole physical world around us, and we consecrate it and we inject it with spirituality. And we raise it up and elevate it and join it with the upper realm, allowing once again that life force to inject itself into the material world, thereby becoming a pillar. How about chesed? How is chesed a pillar of the world? This may be obvious. The whole intention of the world. Why did God create the world? What's for chesed? To benefit us, to do kindness for us, to bestow on us goodness, schar, reward, olam haba, eternal life. Olam chesed yibane, the verse says. The world was created for kindness. What else? Through kindness, we come together, we're united, we do goodness, we bury the dead, we visit the sick, we lend money to each other so they could subsist. We do goodness. We help each other out. We strengthen each other. And this allows for the sustainability of this world. Moreover, we become godlike by emulating God. The Pasuk says, the verse in Devarim, V'davakta bai. And you should cling to Hashem. How could you cling to Hashem? He's not a physical entity. The Gemara says that you emulate God's ways. Just like God is kind, He does chesed, you do chesed. And when you do kindness to your friend, it seems like just a prosaic act, perhaps. What did I do? I offered him a little food. I gave him a little money. I gave him a warm word, words of encouragement. But you did something that was much grander. You became godlike. You emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So we have these three pillars You have Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chassadim. Do we have these things in the Mikdash? Yes. Like we said, the Mikdash was a world unto itself. And these were the foundations for the Mikdash itself. Where do we have this? Where do we see Torah in the Mikdash? In fact, Torah was the essence of the Mikdash. What was the most sublime place of the Beis HaMikdash? The inner sanctum, the Kodesh Kodashim, that place that the Kohen Gadol only went once a whole year, on the most sublime and spiritual day of the whole year, Yom HaKippurim. And he only went in with a special service with Ketayim. And what was housed in that Mikdash, in that Kodesh Kodashim, the inner sanctum of the temple? It was the Arayim. It was the Ark. And what did the Ark contain? The Torah. The Luchot. This was, so to speak, the battery, the engine of the Mikdash. The Pasuk says, Ki mitziyoyin teitzei Torah. From Zion, Torah goes forth. Torah was emanating from the Mikdash. All the Torah knowledge that we had, it came from the Beis HaMikdash. And why was that? Because the Shekhinah was so manifest. Who bestows on us Torah? Who bestows on us godly wisdom? Isn't that but God Himself? And that Shekhinah that was so present enabled us to uncover all the secrets of the Torah. The Vilna Gaon, the commentary in Avos, we all say after Shemona Esrei, and we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, the same chalkein of the Torah Sacha, and give us our portion in Torah study. Did anybody here ever wonder why those two things we say in juxtaposition? We should rebuild the Mikdash, and God should give us our portion in Torah. How are they related? And the Gaon says, because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Torah learning that we have, which is God's wisdom, it was diminished. Because only with the Mikdash of God's Shekhinah and presence are we able to fully understand the Torah. In fact, we all know the place of the Beis HaMikdash is called what? Har HaMiriah. The Gemara says, that why is it called the Har HaMiriah? Because that's the place that Hayra'ah goes forth. What's Hayra'ah mean? Teaching. The Mikdash was the place, the apex and climax of Torah wisdom. How was Avodah found in the Beis HaMikdash? That's very obvious. That's the Karbanon that we would bring, the offerings that we would bring. And when a person brought an offering, he would accomplish this, like we mentioned before. He would take from the material world, he would take a little flower, he would take a little seh, a lamb, and consecrate it, and elevate it. And by doing that, he would elevate the entire physical world with him. And it was a constant process of elevation, of bringing up, of consecrating the physical and material world. The Persh teaches us that although carbon is commonly translated as sacrifice, it's actually not, the Persh says, a good translation for carbon. What is the carbon? Where does that word come from? Offering. It's karev. Kof resh beis means what? To draw close. When we take just a little flower, a couple of dollars, and we bring it in the Mizbeach, and we create this bond to God, we connect the lower world with the upper world. Is that a sacrifice on our part? That's not a sacrifice at all. That's a karban. It's an amazing gift that God gave us to be able to do so much. We don't see it with our own eyes all the time. To take physical matter and bring it up and elevate it and join the world. And that's what's happening when we bring a karban. Chesed, how was chesed found in the mikdash? Now chesed was, the mikdash was the place. Chazal tell us, the rabbis tell us, that all the shefa, all the bracha, all the goodness that was brought down to the world, the entire universe, it came through the mikdash. In fact, the rabbis tell us that the Goyim that destroyed the mikdash, the Gentiles, knew of the power, they understood what the Beis HaMikdash did for them. They would have surrounded it with legions to protect it, to make sure that no bad befell it. This was the place that brought goodness to the whole world, uniting them, bringing them parnasa, bringing them food, livelihood, health, all the good things that you could imagine. Children, joy, happiness. This is how this is found in the mikdash. In fact, the Avos HaKadosh, the forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they also correspond to Torah, Avaida, and Gemilas Chassadim. Torah is who? Is Yaakov. Avaida is Yitzchak. Yitzchak was actually what? Offered on the Mizbeach, he went up, Akedas Yitzchak. And finally what? Avram Avinu? Chesed. Kindness. Opened up his tent, his home. Strangers, idolaters, wayfarers. He was a symbol of that. When we take these three pillars, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chassadim, and we synthesize them, we bring them together, what do we have? We have an olam, we have a world. What happens when we're missing one of these things? It's deficient. It's like a tripod. You have a three-legged stool. What happens when one leg is missing? It's not firm. What's going to happen with that? It's going to topple. Could you make a nation, an eternal people, like the Jewish people, with a two-legged stool? No, that's why you need the three pillars. That's why they're the avay. They're the foundation of Klal Yisrael. We need all of them. In fact, when we say in the Shemona Esrei, what do we say? We don't say, okay, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I could have said that. That would have been shorter. We say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Each one has his unique way of serving God, of exemplifying that foundation. Avram, Chesed, Yitzchak, Avoda, and Yaakov, Torah. And when you synthesize them, you bring them together, you have a nation, you have a people. In the Mikdash, there were three kelim that had crowns on them. Three vessels, there were many vessels in the Mikdash, but three of them had crowns on them. Do you know what they were? They were the Mizbeach. What else? The Aron and the Shulchan. These are the three vessels that had a crown. What is crown? What does that mean? What does it teach you when they had a crown? Of its prominence, of its primacy. The Medrash tells us that this was corresponded to Keser Melucha, the crown of what? Kingship. Kether Kuhuna, the crown of the priesthood, and Kether Torah, and the crown of Torah. And where do we have that in the Mishnah? These three vessels. The Arayin was what? Kether Torah. The Mizbeach, that was Kether Kuhuna. Who did the divine service? The priest. Kether Melucha, that was the Shulchan. You know what the Shulchan was? That was the table with the showbread. How does Kether Melucha correspond to the Shulchan, to the table with the showbread? Because it was through the Shulchan. When he put the bread and it remained there during the whole week, that was a special table that brought down Parnassa, that brought down the bread, that brought down the bounty, the culture, the agricultural goodness, that had that influence, being able to do that. And you know what a melech is? The kings that we're familiar with, they were despots, right? And they used their power for what? Self-aggrandizement and indulgence. But you know what the job of a Jewish king is? It's to help his brethren. It's to be a tzinor. It's to be a pipeline through which Shefa bounty flows and is distributed throughout the people. We don't need a king to have him being what? Self-indulgent and terrorizing his fellow brothers and sisters, his countrymen. That was his job, to distribute the Shefa, the goodness, to bring it down. And that was the Shulchan. So we have these three vessels, and they corresponded to the three pillars, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And only when we have all three of them can we as a nation be whole, like the Avos. We cannot be a wholesome nation without the three pillars. And individually, we have to have Torah, we have to have scholarship, we have to develop our intellect, we have to have Avodah, godly service. What happens if somebody is a scholar but doesn't do the mitzvahs? Or what happens if somebody is a scholar, he does the mitzvahs, but he doesn't treat his friend with dignity and respect and kindness? Or if he treats his brethren with kindness and respect, but has no scholarship, but doesn't do mitzvah, there's deficiency. So in order to have a nation, in order to have an olam, a world, in order to be a wholesome Jew, we have to have this balance. We have to draw from all three, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. The truth is that the three holidays of Shavuot, Sukkot, and Pesach, what are they called? Shalosh Regalim. What does that sound a lot like? Regalim. Like Regalim. Feet. This is the tripod again. These are the three pillars that the world stands on. And we went to the Mikdash. There was a special mitzvah to go to the Mikdash during these holidays and to be exposed to the Mikdash. And we could see these three themes in these holidays as well. Torah, which holiday do you think that may correspond to? Shavuot. Avodah, divine service. That's rather evocative of Pesach. The Karban Pesach, Maha Avodah. What is this Avodah? This is the Karban Pesach. And Sukkot, that's Chesed. We all come together, we delight in joy and happiness, we bask together with our brethren and with God, and there's bounty. It's a time of gathering in the produce. This is a time of Chesed. We have these themes. We come to the Mikdash. These are the Shalosh Regalim, or the three feet of what? Of being a nation, of being a Jew. And that's the mitzvah to come to the mikdash and to see these facets and these features of the mikdash. The mikdash wasn't something that we were going to just visit and just to see and to take pictures at and to experience just but once. But rather to do what? To bask in it. To understand it. To have the mikdash edify us, elevate us, uplift it, and to eternalize it. To take the lessons of the mikdash, to see the Torah, to see the Torah wisdom that was so obvious there, to see the avoda, the divine service, to heed its lesson, to see how we have to relate to the material world by elevating it and consecrating it, not just to indulge in it for our own self-gratification. But there's a purpose to this world, and we understand that purpose. What do? We elevate not just ourselves, but the entire world. We see the chesed. We see Hashem's chesed to us. We see how He loves us. We come together as people, as brothers and sisters. We see the love that God has for man, and man has for each other. And we go back to our home after the Chagim. And we have these lessons in our hearts. We internalize them. We assimilate them in our behavior and our consciousness. And we make sure that it's part of us. The Pasuk teaches us, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'seicham. You should build a temple, and I should dwell b'seicham, in them. That's how you would translate that. It's startling. Really, the Pasuk should say what? You should build a temple that I may dwell in it. What does that mean, in them? So the commentators say that in truth, the intent of the mikdash was that God ultimately should reside in each and every one of us. The mikdash was a place to learn, to be edified, to be uplifted, to be elevated, and to transform ourselves into a mikdash, each and every one of us. And this, in fact, was the goal of the mikdash. Don't leave the mikdash without taking it back with you and bringing it to your own heart and bringing it to wherever you live, whatever moshav that you came from. Take the mikdash back with you in your heart, in your mind, and in your behavior. Learn the lessons of the mikdash. Take the pillars back with you. Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Know that a Jew can't be wholesome without having all of these things, all of these pillars. The Pasuk says, you should do the mikdash, you should build the mikdash, v'chein ta'asu, and so you should do. The simple meaning of that text is what? That you should build it like I commanded you to. But in Chaim Volozhin, he tells us, he sees this hinted in these words, v'chein ta'asu, and so you should do. Yourself, your actions, your behaviors. See the mikdash, see the kalim, see the edifice of the mikdash. See what it represents, see what it symbolizes, see what it brings down, see its transformative powers. V'chein ta'asu, and so you should do, and so you should be. So we discuss tonight the special opportunities of these days. But even though they're sad days, we're uncomfortable, we're not as joyful, but really we should be very thankful. This is a unique opportunity to connect to the mikdash and to rebuild it, to have it in our hearts. And this is a special time where we're empowered to actually lay the groundwork and the foundation of the mikdash. And we discussed the unique features of the mikdash. We spoke about how it's an olam, katan, how it's a small microcosm that encompasses all the features of the physical and spiritual world. And the foundations of an olam is the three pillars of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. We spoke about how that's represented in the Mikdash. The Arayin, Torah. The Shulchan, the Chesed. The Mizbeach, Avodah. And how a Jew has to have all three of these things to be whole and complete. And the purpose of the Mikdash, of that Divine Presence, was to learn and to be uplifted and edified. And ultimately, to do what? To become a Mikdash Herself. So may we all merit to take advantage of these special days, to contemplate the Mikdash. Hopefully we know a little bit more about it. This is only a tip of the iceberg of what the Mikdash really is. It's so esoteric and deep. You can never really understand the Mikdash. But a little bit, to have a little bit of a basis of knowledge about what the Mikdash was, and thereby connect with the Mikdash and make use of these days to take the Mikdash into our hearts, and may we all merit to see the Meher of Yemenu speedily in our days, the rebuilding of the Mikdash. Everybody's been invited to partake of refreshments. There'll be another class at 10 minutes, 8:50.
Yeah.
Really tall. Wow. Is it, I think last year it was actually. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay.